Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carla Campbell. We're here this evening at 5 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time for those of you who are on the East Coast. And so it is a beautiful day out here in Colorado. We were in the 60s today. Not a cloud in the sky. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And so here we are on the air to discuss some pretty serious topics this evening. I know that we have been talking about this. It's been in the news. It's been inundated with regards to the shooting that took place 3 days ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, we have to ask the question, what is going on with our nation? A couple of days ago, I listened in some students who were giving testimony to how they felt about being in how school has become an unsafe environment. And not feeling protected. Gun violence is huge in this nation. America definitely has a gun violence problem. And what do we do about it? Yeah, we talk about mental health. And yes, we do. We also have a mental health crisis. But a large portion of the mass shootings are not really from anyone. The numbers are very small when it comes to mental health and gun violence. Some people are just plain old mad, angry, upset, bitter. And so we need to take a step back as a nation. As a people, you know, as I watched the news unfold, I couldn't help but think about all the other shootings. It amazes me. I don't know about you guys out there, but, you know, when you're sitting there and you're listening, all you can do is go back. I mean, my first experience of a stir of emotions was Columbine, and we're talking decades ago here in Colorado, in Littleton, Colorado. And then the shooting that took place just a few years back, in a movie theater, not long after I relocated here. As a matter of fact, it was the same year that I relocated here, and there was this shooting in the movie theater. And, you know, I'm ex-military. I've fired weapons, but I'm trying to understand, why do we need military assault weapons? I don't get that. Those are weapons of war. And so today I just want to discuss this situation with you. How do we protect our children? Because they are crying out for protection, and we're not protecting them. I mean, I don't get it. This is the United States of America. We are not protecting our children. I'm just going to call it for what it is, because it is, we are not protecting our children. And those who have the power to make a difference won't do it. Why? Because we love our weapons. We love our guns. We quote the Second Amendment as if God himself wrote it. And we're talking about an amendment that was written almost 300 years ago. I don't think it was intended for how we're using it today. So we really need to take a step back. Stop saying, you know, my prayers are with the family. Stop saying, oh, yes. You know, our prayers and thoughts are with you. Our thoughts are with you. No. If your thoughts were really with these people, you would do something about it. You wouldn't continue to allow this to happen over and over and over and over again. We love our weapons. We love our guns. Why? America is top on the top 10, the top 5 actually, of gun violence in the world. Our gun violence succeeds so many other nations on a global scale. Why is that? So we really need to take a look at this. We really need to sit down and think about it. Why we have churches that are being attacked, mass shootings in a church, such as the one that took place in South Carolina some years ago. And now here we are, Christian school attacked. And then even here, where I'm sitting in this very state, school shooting that just took place a few days ago at a high school. Students are having to bunker down, hunker down for active shooter activities that have become a part of the high school drills or middle school drills or elementary school drills. So we're having our children to prepare for an active shooter on a regular basis as if we were having a fire drill. So our fire drills and our active shooter drills are now a part of our educational system. Go figure. How did we get here? Sending your child to school and not knowing if your child will return. Those beautiful 3 children, 9 years old. I never want to get to a point, and I'm quite sure you guys don't either, where you become desensitized. I listen to a number of young people, and they're crying out. And I said this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about mental health issues. There's no wonder they have mental health issues. I mean, look at what's going on in our society. We are not giving them any hope. We are not demonstrating that we care about our children. And so that's the word that has been going on for the last couple of days. And then once this dies down, and then everyone will go back to talking about other things, but it'll pop up again. It happens every day in this country. Every day. Gun violence is part of our culture. And I hate to say this, but it's true. It is part of the American culture. Gun violence. And it's gotten out of hand. And then people will say things like, well, it's not the gun that killed the person, it's the person who had the gun. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you guys think about that for a minute, it's not the guns that are killing people, it's the person who's killing the people. It doesn't make any sense. If you didn't have access to a gun and you want to kill someone, you would find other means, right? So, and we wouldn't have so many people killed at one time. So I'm not taking sides here. I'm not here to be political. I'm not here to talk about politics. But we do need to address this issue. Why is it we do not have the moral courage to take care of this problem in this country? We don't have the moral courage to do it. So what do we do about it? The number of children, the number of young people who are murdered in this country has increased. We also don't talk about the suicide that also takes place by gun. Those who have access to a firearm and are able to take their own lives out. We don't talk about that number. We need to talk about that number. We need to include that. So why is it that America has a gun violence problem? There's no one simple answer. No one simple answer at all. Are we being held hostage by our system? Are we being held hostage by that one amendment, that one constitutional statement about bearing arms? Are we being held hostage by that? Why is it that we can't come up with common sense laws to protect our citizens? That's a safety, that is a public safety issue. And yet we can't resolve it. I have no idea. So I'm just going to put it out there to you guys, to all of you out there that are listening to the sound of my voice and who have been hearing this all week for the last several days. What do we do? How do we equip our young people to be able to stand up and fight against this situation? I know that there were young citizens here in Colorado who were protesting about the gun violence there at their particular high school here in Denver. And they were in full force at the Capitol. When we think about Sandy Hook and the number of parents who testified before Congress regarding the loss of their child in a mass shooting. We think about the situation in Florida and the young people who came together there to protest government regarding the mass shooting at their school. And so this is something that we really need to address. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer said, you know, get up off your knees and do the work. I may not have quoted it totally correct, but what she is saying is, yeah, talk to God, pray about it, but you also got to do the work. And how many of us are listening to what that work is? Do we have the courage to do it? And so this is something that we've been talking about for the last several days. People have been upset, emotionally upset, but most of all, our children are the ones who are going into these buildings. Our children are the ones who are going to school and having to deal with this on a regular basis. And we just go about our daily lives as if, you know, okay, that's just the way it is. Parents need to be involved as much as possible to force our politicians and law enforcement and public safety officers to do more to protect the children. It cannot be something that we do once and let it go. It is not something that when we have an incident such as this and we're out there in full force, some of us, and then we wait for the next one to happen. We can't do that. We must be relentless in making sure that there are laws passed, that something has to give. Supposedly the greatest country in the world, and yet we can't resolve gun violence? That's something to really think about. We can't resolve gun violence. We can't resolve homelessness. We can't resolve mental health. There's something wrong. So yes, we can look at it from a spiritual perspective and say, hey, you know, there are a lot of people who are not connected, right? We could say that. But then there are others that are not. So what's going on? What's going on? What's going on with the psychological, the mental issues with regards to America? What is the mental condition, the social condition, the psychological condition of America? There was a statement that was brought up into, I had a discussion and we were talking about how countries can have a personality. What is the metaphor for a country having a personality? Can a country have a personality? Yes, it can. Can a nation have a particular personification about it? Yes, it can. And so when we look at America and what's going on with our violence, could we possibly say that America's personality is that of violence? Are we truly a violent nation? And everything that we have experienced in these last several years, it seems as if America is going even deeper and further into violence or being a violent nation. We are definitely not a united nation. We are definitely a divided nation. And then you have to ask the question, how long can we last under those conditions? Gun violence. The mass shootings. They say that a mass shooting is anything from four or more people. It's considered a mass shooting. And we get those every day. Those things happen in this nation every single day. So, what are we doing about it? What are you doing about it? There's so much to be said about it, but what are we doing about it? We say pray for our nation. Yeah, pray for our nation. But what are we doing about our nation? Praying about it and doing something about it are two different things. So what do we mean when we say pray for our nation? So these are some things I just began to ponder on it, thinking about it for the last couple of days, and why is it that we continue to come down this road? Why do we continue to walk in this circle? Why is it that we find ourselves in situations like this on a regular basis? Why is it that our children are dying? And what can we do? Mass shootings, according to the data here, as you guys know, I always bring some of the data or some of the things that I may look up or have read. And so in this particular article, where it says America has a gun problem and we need to address it. And so this particular article is coming from ABC. I also have some that is from NPR.org, but I'm going to cover this one here because there's so much to think about with regards to the numbers here. Mass shootings have dominated the headlines, conversations, and political debate around America's gun violence problem for decades. Decades. perpetuated in many cases with military-style rifles. And as I stated earlier, why do we need military-style rifles? That's for the military. When we're going to war, those assault weapons, those military-style weapons, your ARs, your AKs, we use those in war when we're trying to take down several numbers or a high number of enemy people, our enemies, in the middle of battle. They have become a symbol for some of America's obsessions with guns and high-powered ones, as well as propensities for violence by some. People are addicted. I know some people would say video games. You know, young people get caught up in video games, and those video games are so real and so realistic, and therefore you can't decipher the difference between reality and what is fantasy. And so that's a small number. And you can look that up. That's a small number, very small. So that's something for us to think about. Active shooter incidents have been on the rise in the last two decades. What is it about in the last 20 years that our gun violence has increased and increased? What is going on with this nation? How is it that our children are able to gain access to guns? I was listening to a young man, and he was saying something about, yeah, it's easy to get guns in school. It's if you're interested in finding a weapon or gun, someone can actually get that to you. Easy access. Why do we have easy access? Why do our children have easy access? So that's something for us to think about. And so I just want to put it out there this evening to hear from you as to what you think we should be doing and what is it that we are doing in our communities to help ease that, to help bring down the violence, to temper down the violence. What are we doing? We have young people saying they don't feel safe in schools and therefore don't want to go. Many parents are now homeschooling. They've been homeschooling for a while, but the numbers of parents homeschooling children has increased because parents don't feel safe. And children do not feel safe. But not everyone can homeschool their child. So we really need to think about this and figure out what should we do. I mean, we can cry out and protest, but is it falling on deaf ears? So when we're looking at the problem, according to ABC, it says attempting to define the problem explains key concepts and explore solutions in the multimedia series. We also developed a gun violence tracker to help illustrate the daily toll of gun violence in America in partnership with the independent nonprofit Gun Violence Archive because of the lack of up-to-date federal data. In other words, they are now really just starting to follow this and gather and archive the numbers, the stats, the statistics with regards to gun violence. Because it's happening so frequently now that, yes, now we have an archive. we now are now able to statistically look at the data and see. It is truly a major problem. So it says Gun violence in America is a story that touches every corner of the country, but does not affect everyone equally. It comes into shocking focus with mass shootings, but also hides behind closed doors with little attention and cost the healthcare system more than an estimated $1 billion a year for injuries alone. $1 billion in healthcare for injuries from gun violence. That's something, that's something for us to think about. $1 billion a year in gun violence and injuries. Wow. Wow. And so, this is according to a report released in June by the U.S. Government Accountability Office. It also states here, it is seen as the scourge of urban living in some cases, but also penetrates deeply into suburban and rural America. And many times the victims are the gun owners themselves or their loved ones who have gained access to those guns, either through suicide or accidental shootings. There are also the 2,606 gun deaths by law enforcement. Here we go. There are also the 2,606 gun deaths by law enforcement between 2015 and 2019, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This is according to the CDC. So that number is also including law enforcement and lives being taken by the police. This is something to think about. This is really something to think about. It also states that while homicides account for much of the carnage and terror associated with gun violence, the most recent data from health officials shows that suicides account for the bulk. Over 60% of gun deaths in America, 60% of those are suicides and gun injuries. While they rarely make the news, put a tremendous burden on both American families and the healthcare system. So there's something to think about. Those who have access to guns and who are suffering from depression, for example. Those who have family members who have access to guns because someone in that house owns it. And if you have someone who decides they want to take their life, that's the quickest way to do it and be successful at it is by gun death. So these are things that we need to consider. We need to think about this. And it's not just in urban cities. It's been in urban cities, but, you know, suburbia. Columbine was in suburbia. The movie theater that was the mass shooting at the movie theater here, that's in suburbia. It's not urban. But there are also murders that take place in rural areas have also increased by gun death in rural America, where a number of people in those towns, small towns, own a gun. It's been a part of their life for hunting. People who go out into their environment, into the woods and so forth and so on to go hunting. But assault weapons, we don't need it. I mean, but we have them. And people who enjoy firearms have acquired those as part of their collection. So yes, and yes again, we have a problem. We really do. And according to the stats here, America is leading globally in gun violent death. The problem in America is, according to the experts here, if we are serious about tackling the gun violence problem in America, experts say we must look at the complete picture, which they say goes well beyond the headlines and amounts to not one, but several gun violence epidemics begging for solutions. We talk about gun violence, but you have to think of guns as an epidemic of injury by firearms. That's the most, that's the more practical way to think about this. This is according to the researcher here, Dr. Benjamin, George Benjamin, Executive Director of the American Public Health Association. So, you know, What do we do? I really don't know anymore. What do we do in America? The situation has gotten out of hand. Chicago, as we all know, which is, they nicknamed Chicago Chi-Rack. One of the leading homicides, highest homicide rates for a while in Chicago. Thousands and thousands of young people murdered in the streets. Or at home, just sitting in home, having their homes fired upon. Young people, babies, future, the future being taken and annihilated. Promises and hope being annihilated. And having that reputation. And now to the point no one cares because that's just the way it is. It's an everyday occurrence. Who cares? Our children are dying at a high rate behind gun violence. It's really sad. But we need, as adults here, those who are in power, those who have the influence to make a difference, we need to come on board and say, hey, you know, I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to make a change. Okay. I'm going to open up the line. I want to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts? What do you think we need to do? How should we approach the problem individually in our own communities? How do we comfort our young people and let them know we care and we're here for them? So I'm going to open up the line a little early so that you know, I'm not rushing to get off or to have anyone. I want everyone to be able to speak their piece. And so I'm going to open up the phone line. And if you're out there and you're interested and you want to comment or you have something of value to say and as to how we can approach the problem, you're more than welcome to come on, to come on the air. Anyway, so I'm opening this up. And we have a caller here. Caller. Is this person here? Hello? 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 Okay. I know people are calling in, but I don't know if they hear me. Or maybe they were waiting to be heard. And so then they're, maybe they stepped aside. I'm going to let the next person in. All right. Caller, are you there? Hello. Okay, call is dropped. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Are you calling back in?
No.
Okay, because I have two people that I said hello and no one said anything. And then the other one just dropped. Oh, okay, I guess they're coming back. I guess they were trying to say something. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think I'm just speechless. I'm not really sure what the answer is. It overwhelmed you. There's so much negative information given to us. And, you know, I don't even know where to start in terms of how to stop the gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it affects all of us, and it affects us in different ways. Some people don't sleep. Some people become withdrawn. But the main thing I think is going to be getting the attention of our youth, because it appears, this is just my opinion, that they don't fear death or dying. And I'm not sure how we got to this point that we as a country, that's our attitude.
We have no respect for life.
Right.
Yeah, we don't.
I'm not sure how you put that and come back to where we were. I mean, you know, I don't want to go back to the dark ages where you couldn't discuss anything, but, and I thought growing up it was really, you know, I couldn't watch 30 programs on TV, and TV was really mild back then in comparison to now.
Yeah.
I don't know how far back we have to swing the pendulum to get some balance in our lives.
That's true. That word makes it balance.
Yeah. But I appreciate the subjects that you bring to our attention. It's just that in terms of an answer, I don't have any suggestions right off. But
yeah.
Just keep providing us with information, and maybe – maybe one day I'll come up and call, or I'll call you and give you an answer. Thank you.
You know, sometimes it's not that we actually need an answer, but sometimes, you know, people just need to be able to vent and be able to, you know, have that discussion to say, right, hey, this is how I feel about this particular situation. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people need that platform to be able to express, you know.
Absolutely.
No, but, you know, this situation here, there is no one answer. I mean, mm-hmm. We came here, we've gotten to this point. This is not something that just happened. This is something that steadily grew. And we seem to be desensitized to the shock of it. I mean, people are not even shocked anymore.
It's every day. I mean, you know, you know you're going to get some, you're going to be made aware of some shooting. If not today, tomorrow. I mean, it's like it's coming. And so you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it's like next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just go on until it becomes even more spectacular. In this case, it was a female who did it. It wasn't typically a male. This was a woman who carried this out, which is very unusual.
Very unusual.
And so, it just caused, and she targeted this place for a reason.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was just thinking one of the reasons I think we'd be desensitized is just because, I mean, it's on TV, your cell phone goes off, and it tells you, you know, so-and-so has just happened. I mean, it's just, there's no reason, you have to shut the TV off, the telephone, to get away from it. Because
yeah.
Otherwise,
it can overwhelm you. You're absolutely right. You know, last week, that's what I did. I needed to shut down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
totally just shut down. You know?
Yep.
We have to do that for ourselves. Remember we were talking about this maybe about a month or two ago when we mentioned self-care. And we're
mm-hmm.
living in an environment where we must intentionally have self-care. Some type of self-care that we do to basically self-preservation.
Yeah, you have to because otherwise you go into overload and then you have medical or mental health issues as a result of trying to cope with all of it.
Yeah. So
keep up the good.
Yeah, we just try and keep it up, keep doing what we can. But, you know, like I said, you know, just listening to young people who, you know, like here where they went up to the Capitol and they were protesting the other day because there were a couple of shootings here. And it's just gotten out of hand to the point that, is to me, it's absurd. And I almost want to say that it's insanity. You know, because
well,
we do the same thing when we're moving in. Yes.
I have a suggestion that we stop looking at this through the eyes of the minority and begin to look at things through the majority, and we see that gun violence is, this country started out that way. It's a very violent culture. The norms and values are violent whenever you sit down and look at it. It's founded on a big lie. So all I see what they did to minorities is now coming full circle. Just like the drug problem, as long as the crack and all this was in the minority community, that was fine. But whenever the opiate crisis started, then that became a public health issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just...
Do you think that the gun violence has become public health issues at this point?
Oh, yeah, it's a public health issue. Having been a police chaplain for 15 years in Baltimore, when Baltimore had on the average 300 murders, homicides for 10 years, and the gun violence was still there. And otherwise, you know, at this point, I'm just looking at it strictly as a majority community problem. They always, their God was the gun. They always used the gun or some instrument to protect themselves and
mm-hmm.
to take that which was not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just spilling over. Having been on the crisis response team as well in the school system there in Baltimore, we were saying that this type of stuff doesn't really happen in non-white schools.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically a white school phenomenon where the shooting took place. And they decided, just like that guy in Tennessee, he one of the legislators. The bottom line, what I took from him, my child is in, we are homeschooling my child. after 3 9-year-olds were killed.
Yeah.
And 3 adults were killed.
Yeah.
And he could stand there on national, international television, because it was on either CNN or MSNBC, mm-hmm. that and make that type of statement. Well, it's not bothering me because my child, we homeschooling my child.
Yeah, I know. And there was no, I mean, I don't know who his publicist is, but he was not, he was definitely off message. He
mm-hmm.
was not being sensitive to, you know, the audience, the American people to, I mean, here you are, a public figure, you working in government in which taxpayers are paying for your salary, and you're going to get up and say something like that? I don't know. Our politics is so corrupt, it's not funny. It's just
mm-hmm.
corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I said years ago, we got a white God and a black God. And the black God holds black people accountable for their action. The white
mm-hmm.
God reward white people for their action.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer I live, I said that when I was back in high school in the late 50s and 60s. And the longer I live, the more more what I see, the more the fruits confirm my assumption that I made way back then.
Mm. Wow. Wow. But you know, what it all boils down to is we have no regard for life. We're
That's
selfish.
Right.
We're selfish people. We're greedy people.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's all about the it's all about the Benjamins, as they say.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're messing with the Benjamins, then, you know, you are an enemy of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Become an enemy of the state. So it's what can you do? You know, we go about our daily lives the best way we know how, some of us. And but many of us need to have the courage, and we need to force people that are in those positions of power to have the courage to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you might get one that will do that because their conscience is bothering them. You might get one. And sometimes, you know, maybe that's all we need is just that one good one. But right now, you know, this country and where we're going and how we're headed is really something. Sometimes, you know, I don't even know what to tell, you know, what to say, especially when you're dealing with people on a regular basis and you hear the chatter. And so what I try and do is cut out the noise. You know, I try to do myself, because I'm trying to preserve myself, to just come away from the chatter for a little bit and try and look at things. And as you just stated earlier, looking at the big picture. We have to look at the big picture, because now it's affecting everyone. And so, unfortunately, this is where we are. But the good thing is, I try to look at the good too. We do have some young people that are out there battling, that are out there fighting. And, you know, that are out there in the fort, you know, confronting their government. Whereas in other places where the youth confronted their government, they were murdered and killed by their government.
Yes.
So, yes, and yes again. something to think about. It looks like there was one other person on here. Are you still there, caller? Maybe not. Okay. All right. Any last words, Mr. Armstrong? Would you like that? You have any last words you would like to say?
Only last words I have to say is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, or 1 through 4. It says that we should pray for those who are in authority, and it tells us why. So we can live a quiet, peaceful, godly life. But we need to learn how to pray and what to pray, not the problem. We need to pray for the solution. We need to invite God into this, not go to God, but God, we had another shooting. No, but God,
no.
We need your direct intervention.
Go ahead.
No, all I was saying was that we see the solution would be, you mentioned, the Benjamin. It's a profit motive. As long as there's profit to be made from selling guns and putting guns on the street, they're going to continue to be there. The politicians, they're putting money in their pockets, and they're passing the type of laws to keep the guns flowing.
Right. Yeah, and the only thing I was going to say, you know, as you were talking about it being profit, and you were talking about pray for the solution, but when we get quiet enough and he's giving us the solution, we need to have the courage to do it.
That's right. And give us the courage to be able to take the necessary action.
Yes. That's the key right there. He's probably already given, I would say he has, given us the answers, but we don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our disobedience, this is what we're going to reap the consequences for that. Because, you know, we don't want to do the right thing because we're making too much money. Right? We're benefiting from this. There's a benefit to this. And it's sick. It really is sick that we have, you know, our violence has become a commodity. Oh, wow. I shouldn't have said that one. But that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Our violence in this country has become a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we don't have the moral courage to do anything about it. So, oh well. it's ludicrous, but we accept it. And putting more guns in the hands of teachers, as some people have suggested, and putting guns in the hands of people that are on the campus there, and that's not going to solve the problem. So, and I don't know what teacher who would want to be in an environment like that to teach, and at the same time, bear arms. So anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. All right, everyone. I know it's about time for me to go, but I just wanted to hear from you, and hopefully, we can come to a consensus. It looks like someone else is trying to get in. I guess I'll let them in. I've got, 3 minutes? Okay, the caller here. Someone who just called in. Hello?
Yes, good evening. Blessings.
Yes.
Yes, I just called in to to check the status of the program. Brother Harshaw asked me to do his program coming up next at 8 p.m.
Okay, I'm coming off.
Okay, okay, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, that's my cue. You guys have a good evening. And peace and blessings to you.
Good night.
Shalom.